Luke chapter number 1. And we're going to read tonight verses 25 down through, or excuse me, 5 down through 25. I've always enjoyed this portion of the scriptures with regards to all of the different characters that were involved around the time of our Savior's birth. And so I want to preach to you tonight a message that I think that we can learn some great truths from two people in this message, and that is Zacharias and Elizabeth. And we see how the Lord used them, and we can take some of these characteristics and apply them to our own lives as well. So let's begin. Follow along as I read beginning in verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." The angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass, as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you'd bless the preaching tonight. Lord, help us to see these truths that are found in your word and to make application to our lives. For we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I've often thought that this is, of course, we look at the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a miraculous birth. Amen? But this birth, the birth of John the Baptist, is also a miraculous birth. You noticed as we read through here that the Bible says that Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were well stricken in years. And she was barren. In fact, twice in Luke chapter 1, it refers to her as being barren. And so she's beyond, it seems, childbearing years. And this is going to be a great, great event. Now, you understand this too, that that when it talks here about Zacharias and this priesthood, and it mentioned it to him, notice if you would in verse 5, when it says, "There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia." When it says of the course of Abia, I'm not going to have you turn there, but I mentioned it actually in a message I preached a couple of weeks ago. Back in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, there's a list of all the different families and all the different men. This was a high honor that was given to Zacharias. You were chosen, the lot fell upon him, and you were then chosen to go into the temple and to minister about the things of the temple. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So this isn't something that Zacharias did all the time. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that he was able to do. But as I read through this, I noticed some great things about Zacharias and Elizabeth. Just like that the Lord chose Mary and Joseph to be the earthly father of Jesus, there are some great, obviously great attributes and characteristics about them, but so we can learn also from Zacharias and Elizabeth. You notice it says this in verse 6, they were both righteous before God. Well, that's a great quality, amen? They were righteous before God. The word righteous that's found here, it means to be conformable to the right things of God. It means to be to do that which is expected of the one who sets the rules and the regulations. So we know who is it that sets the rules and the regulations of being righteous, and that's the Lord Himself. Amen? And so these were godly people. These were people who really came. They, in my mind, in that time and in that day, many people were caught up in going to the temple and the religious aspects of it, just like there are many people today that are caught up and they go to church, but it's more for, I was having this conversation with someone just a week or so ago that attends our church, I would guess semi-regularly, but they are from a Catholic background. And she claims to be born again, and she says, "I like, though, in the Catholic Church, all of the bells and all of the whistles. But I like coming to Mount Greylock Baptist Church because you preach the Bible." So there are a lot of people who are caught up in all of the formality and all of the, I'm just using that term, all of the bell, you don't understand what I'm saying? All of the candles and all of the fancy stuff and all of that. But yet, and this person likes that, but yet they realize they don't get preached to there. They don't get fed the Word of God. But you know, that's been true down through history, whether we're talking about that. I mentioned in a message not too long ago that there are many young people who have been raised in the Islamic faith who are turning to Christianity because it doesn't have any meaning to them. They're looking for something that has meaning, and they hear about Christ, and so they leave all of that behind. And many of you were raised in a Catholicism or maybe even in a very formalistic Protestantism that doesn't teach about having a personal walk with the Lord. Well, in the days of Zacharias and Elizabeth, I'm sure there were many people who just by tradition went to the temple and left the temple and went to the temple. But Zacharias and Elizabeth aren't those type of people. These are people that really cared about the one true living God. The one true living God. See if it goes off again. It's just some great things here. Look at what it says in verse number 6. They were both righteous. We've already spoke about that before God. And it says this, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They were walking in the things of God. They took the Word of God seriously. You know, Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in it he shall meditate day and night." Pastor Ethan spoke this morning about meditation and how there is a biblical meditation, meditating on the things of God and just thinking about the things of God. And Zacharias and Elizabeth, they walked with the Lord. And it's so important that they walk with the Lord. So important that you and I, we walk with the Lord. Because as we walk with the Lord and His ordinances and His commandments, the Lord teaches us. You know, so many people today, they come to the house. The only time they open up a Bible is they come to church. But we need to be walking in the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord each and every day. And to letting God speak to our hearts. That's what Elizabeth and Zacharias did. But then I noticed this too, that not only did they walk in God's Word, but in verse 10, the Bible says, "And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense." But down, you get down to verse 13, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." So not only did this couple walk regularly in the commandments and in the ordinances of God's Word, but they were a praying couple. And I've said since the day I became the pastor here, you're never going to grow in the Lord unless you're walking in His Word, unless you're spending time in prayer. That's the left foot and the right foot of your Christianity. You've got to be in the Bible, and you've got to be in the Bible regularly, and you've got to have a prayer time, and you've got to have a regular prayer time. If you're not going to do that, it's going to be... I mean, imagine trying to... Some people say, we had a very good friend of mine who was a member of this church, and he would admit to me, he would say, "Preacher, I'm better at praying than I am reading the Word of God." And I often thought about that. I might have used this illustration before. Imagine trying to get from here just down to the corner of Notch Road and Route 2, and you could do it two ways. You could either hop on one foot, or you could use both feet and you could walk there. Now, what would you prefer to do? Walk on both feet and get there, right? Yeah, you don't. Kids say no. But if you're only going to be praying and you're not going to be in the Word of God, or if you're only going to be in the Word of God and you're not going to be praying, it's like trying to hop your way through your Christian life. The two are intertwined. They work together. You understand what I'm saying? Amen? But that's what Zacharias and Elizabeth were. That's the kind of couple that they were. The Bible says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, it availeth much." You've got to be a praying people. We've got to be a praying people. And the church will move forward on our knees. Your life in the Lord will move forward when you're on your knees praying and taking time. Pray, the Bible says, without ceasing. And just spending time in prayer. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Scripture after scripture after scripture reminds us that we need to pray, we need to pray, we need to pray, we need to pray. So Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were that type of people. So praying and walking with the Lord. So I want you to see this. Three things now that will take place that we see in their life. Number one, again, look at verse 13. "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." Listen, do you believe tonight that God hears your prayers? Amen? And do you believe tonight that God answers prayers? Do you believe tonight that God hears prayers? You know what? Do you believe tonight that God answers prayers? He does. He does. But you know what? Sin will prevent your prayers from being heard. The Bible says in Psalm 66:18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." You know, I think one of the great sins of omission in our life is the sin of prayerlessness. Not spending that time with God in prayer. But their prayer was heard. They were a praying people. And I wonder too, as they were going on in life, when it says here, "Thy prayer is heard," And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Had Zacharias and Elizabeth, even though they were childless, had they continued to pray that God might bless them with a child? Could that possibly be? Could it possibly be, as they had read the Old Testament scriptures and they thought about Abraham and Sarah and their condition, that God had blessed Abraham and Sarah? And could it possibly be that they were the type of praying people that said, well, if God could do it for Abraham and Sarah, God can do it for us as well. But see, that's the essence of prayer. With man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And sometimes we give up on prayer. They didn't, it seemed, give up on prayer. Listen, because of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, we have access to the throne of grace. Not based upon our goodness or on our merit, but we have access to the throne of grace. Take your Bibles real quick. Hold your finger here and go to Romans chapter 5. And I want you to see this. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, justified, to declare free from guilt or blame, to absolve, to pardon. We've been declared free from sin, and we've been let's read on. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Listen, because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, based on the merits of Jesus, we can go to the throne room of grace and obtain help. That's what the Scriptures teach. And we can go back now to the Gospel of Luke. Our prayers are heard. Psalm 66:19 says, but verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. You read through the life of the Apostle Paul and all that he writes with regards to prayer and all that he writes with regards to praying. You look at the life of our Lord and Savior and the times that he spent in prayer to the Lord. How much time do we spend in prayer to the Lord? Because if we're going to walk with the Lord, be a walk by faith as Zacharias and Elizabeth did, and we're going to be a praying people, we better be a praying people. We better be praying and talking to the Lord and bringing our requests before the Lord. Their prayer was heard. They're going to have a child. And so that brings me to verse 14. When you and I will endeavor to walk with the Lord and be in His Word, and when we endeavor to be a praying people, in verse 14, it says this, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. They would not only have a personal joy, but there would be a collective joy. You know, perhaps nothing is more joyous than the birth of a child. Amen? I mean, it's not only a personally joyous event, but it's collectively joyous. So, Shelley and I had 8 children. And I have to tell you, it didn't get boring when we had the 6th child or the 7th child or the 8th child. To be there and to watch a child born is an amazing event. I was glad I was the watcher, though, and not the deliverer. A couple of times, Shelley almost broke my arm as she was kind of hanging on there. Yeah, it was tough. You know, the pain in my arm. I think that's probably why I have a problem with his shoulder now. But I'll get through it, all right? But it was a joyous event. I mean, absolutely joyous. What do you do after the baby's born and you're just amazed and when Aaron was born, we said, oh, what did we create? No, we didn't say that. It was a beautiful birth, except I think you were the only one born in North Adams. That was you. Yeah, the others were, they're all born in Vermont. They're all Vermonters, except for you. But it's all right. It's all right. But it was, and so you get on the phone, you call your mother, your father, you call the in-laws, people come, they're all excited, people buy balloons, people buy flowers, people buy, one of the neatest things that we found in my mother-in-law's, who just passed away, we found slides of Shelley's mom's baby shower. And so we're looking at pictures of Shelley in the womb, and it just kind of brings you back, you know, and all that. It was a festive time. John says this, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Wow. And there's going to be excitement here. There is joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at his birth. But just as giving birth to a child is a joyous occasion, receiving Christ is a joyous occasion. Amen? Receiving him. Jesus desires that we enter into the joy of his salvation, and then he desires that we continue to walk in that joy. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 44. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She's with the Christ child. There's great joy. Mary said this, look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. She said, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. To all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Great joy. The Bible goes on to say that Jesus would say that our joy would remain, that our joy would be full, that our joy would be great. We've been doing a Bible study on Wednesday night, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. The joy of the Lord, the joy of coming to know Christ as our Savior, and then the joy that the Lord desires for you and I to have as we walk through this life. And there was joy and gladness. But this couple, Elizabeth and Zechariah, they endeavored all of these years, they walked in the Word of God. The Word of God was their companion. Their prayer life, it was their companion. What a lesson that we can learn. A lesson, three results. This righteous life, they were both righteous before God, but it took walking in His Word, and it took a regular, vibrant prayer life. Their prayers were heard. There was joy and there was gladness. And then I noticed this too, verse 15. For he shall be great, meaning John the Baptist, in the sight of the Lord. And he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now, of course, it wasn't until Pentecost that the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and in the Old Testament, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit wasn't as it is today. Today, the moment you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence and lives within you. Amen? But it wasn't always that way. We see instances in the Old Testament when the Holy Spirit came upon people. We saw, for instance, in the life of David, that the Holy Spirit came upon David. We saw in the instance, for instance, of Samuel, that the Holy Spirit came upon, Samson, and other examples. But there, John the Baptist, from the time he was born, the Holy Spirit was upon him. We see also when we, as we look at this, look at verses 67 and in our text. And his father Zacharias, after John was born, he was filled with the Holy Ghost And he prophesied saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Or look what it says, if you will, in verse 64. The Bible says, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue was loosed, and he spake and he praised God. You remember what happened was he kind of doubted. Well, wait a minute, I don't have any children named John. And the angel had said, said to him, well, you're not going to be able to speak until the child is born. But they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were Holy Ghost people. They were people who walked with God, and the power of the Spirit of God was upon them. Oh, listen, if you and I would just endeavor on a regular basis to walk with God and to spend time with God in prayer, that the Spirit of God would just use us, the Spirit of God would just anoint us, the Spirit of God would take the words that we speak to people and use us to be an instrument to lead people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That they would see Christ living in and through us. It was the promise in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 to the apostles when he said, but ye shall receive power, and the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea to the uttermost parts of the world. But it's a people who spend time in God's Word. Do you love the Bible? I mean, do you love the Word of God? Brother Atherton mentioned Tim Davis. He's gone to Burma to bring the Word of God to people there that are hungry for the Word of God. Hungry to hear what Jesus has to say. Hungry to hear the truths of God's Word. Listen, there are people all around us that are living a life without hope that need to hear about Jesus Christ. And we can learn here, whether we're talking about witnessing or we're talking about our homes. And John the Baptist, he grew in that home, he grew in that atmosphere, and he was used mightily of the Lord to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. Until that day where he pointed to Jesus and he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But it wasn't just any ordinary couple. It was a couple that loved God. He loved the things of God. It's a great challenge for you and I. Do we love God? Do we love the things of God? Our prayers are heard. God answers prayer. The joy and the gladness of walking with the Lord is when we have a regular walk with the Lord. And be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Let's be careful that we don't quench the Spirit of God. And then lastly, in verses 16 and 17, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Speaking of John the Baptist, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit of the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Of course, the birth of John the Baptist was a fulfilling of Old Testament prophecy. In the book of Malachi and the book of Isaiah, it was prophesied that he would come. That he would come and prepare the way of the Lord. Well, listen, you and I can prepare people for the Lord as well. By our actions, by our attitude, by our prayer life, by our Bible life. Learn the lesson from Zacharias and Elizabeth, these two that were used of God to nurture and to bring up John the Baptist in that home. Jesus would say of John the Baptist, he was the greatest of all the prophets. Zacharias and Elizabeth had a huge part in that, in how they raised him. So it's a great challenge for us as we raise our children. It's a great challenge for us as we relate to our grandchildren. It's a great challenge to us as we relate to those of the family of God here at the church. Be a people who love the Word. Be a people who pray. 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 Let the joy of the Lord, let people see the joy of the Lord in your heart. Let the Spirit of God fill you. Be empowered. Just ask God just to empower you and to speak in and through you. Because just like with John and with Elizabeth and Zacharias, there would be many people, many of the children of Israel would turn to the Lord their God. And God can use you as well to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, as we conclude the service tonight, I want to just thank you and praise you for your goodness to us and your mercy and your grace. And this great example of these two individuals. Lord, help us to remember the life that they lived, the truths that are found here in the Scriptures. Help us to not soon forget. Help us to know and remember there's a lost and dying world all around us. And help us to be like John the Baptist, people who prepare the way of the Lord for others. Give us a godly walk, godly attitude. Fill our lives each day with your Spirit. Let the fruit of the Spirit be evident as we walk through this world. That whether it's what we say or it's how we live, we would just draw others to you. For we ask this now in Jesus' name.